Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Vince wants results or resignations. Bound for Glory is this Sunday. And which superstar is being advertised for WrestleMania? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Do another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Tensai, or Alberto, or Prince Albert, if you want to call him that, has been labeled a disappointment. Like him or the character?
I would say a little bit of both. I mean, the character itself kind of sucked. I mean, you know, WWE should have came out and said, look, this guy was, at one point in time, it was Albert. You know, he had a successful run in the WWE in the past, and he went to Japan and, you know, honed his craft even more. Now he's back with Japanese culture, you know, because that's the kind of route that they were going with him. But the fans just didn't care. I mean, and he had major wins, you know, over John Cena. He wrestled CM Punk, and they were hoping that he was going to be the next big thing, but obviously he wasn't. You know, I mean, it wasn't going to happen. And I've never cared for Albert. I mean, he's an okay wrestler, but I don't think he has any charisma. I don't think that there's anything about him that's special. And honestly, like, if he left tomorrow, I wouldn't care.
And that's correct, because the WWE can't use him properly. He's a good wrestler. I mean, MVP talked about it, that he is great over there. But see, some guys can do great over there, and they come over, and nothing translates. It kind of reminds me of... Claudio, or what is it called now?
Antonio Cesaro.
Thank you. I don't think he's translating well. Even though they're very high on him, I don't think he's translating well. Same thing with Chris Hero, or I can't remember. I just saw his match from NXT.
Well, is it Cassius Ohno, right?
No, it's the champion. I can't even think of
I thought he was Cassius Ohno.
No. Chris Hero is, hold on a second. This is why I should have done this earlier. But yeah, you're right. It's Cassius Ohno. I'm thinking of someone else. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Tyler Black. By the way, Tyler Black looks awesome in the developmental right now. He's the NXT champion. Anyway, so I digress. It's just that some guys will work. Those are guys that will work in other promotions, but they don't work, you know, right now. Also, Brock Lesnar is being advertised for WrestleMania. Is this too soon?
It is a little bit. I mean, for the most part, only marks, you know, and smarks are really going to pay attention to this, because the average person isn't going to, you know. Little Billy isn't going to look at Ticketmaster and be like, oh, Brock Lesnar's being advertised for WrestleMania. Looks like he didn't actually quit the WWE. You know, obviously we know a little bit different. I think it's a pretty big deal, just because that means that he's probably going to be coming back soon, I think. I think that, you know, this month is Hell in a Cell, and November is Survivor Series. I think we'll probably see him back then. I honestly do.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in and just does something. Like, it doesn't matter what, but I just wouldn't be surprised if he shows up and beats someone up and says, I want you. You're the next big thing. I'm going to kick your butt. You know, it just wouldn't surprise me. So Vince wants results or resignations, and something big that actually happened was that Brian, I think it's Gertz, if I'm correct. Yeah. He hasn't been with the WWE for a while. He's been working at home, and he's not even going to the WWE office in Stanford, which is a big deal. So they kind of are just starting to phase him out. And that's the biggest thing right now. So they got a Triple H guy. His name is Eric Pankowski, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he's somebody that Triple H and Stephanie have been really high on for the past few months now. And I think... Here is, I think, the biggest problem with WWE management. I think the biggest problem is that it's not just yes men, but it's that they are in an echo chamber. And so these are people telling them, oh, you guys have great ideas, or here's something that you want. And instead, you're not seeing things that are like, okay, here's a great idea. It's brand new, and it's going to be something that's long term. So this isn't going to get us results day one. You know, like CM Punk's pipe bomb, yes, that got you instant results. But also they had a character build up to him. But he does this one thing, and then all of a sudden, everybody's talking about it, right? Everybody's talking about it. I think that the problem is that you don't have writers who are looking at the bigger picture. They're not saying, okay, here's our 12-month agenda. You know, here is where Dolph Ziggler will be for month one, month six, month 12. Here's where CM Punk will be. Here's Undertaker, you know. Here are these characters, and here's where they will be. I think that it's just an echo chamber, and it's the same old song and dance. What new stars have been built up in the past year, honestly?
Well, they try Tensai. I mean, now Wade Barrett's come back a little bit, and they're trying to make him big, but he came back. Yeah. And then what happened? Nothing. I mean,
well, and we'll talk a little bit about Wade Barrett, you know, but for the most part, I mean, honestly, there haven't really been any big superstars. They're really trying hard with Ryback. I mean, they are pushing him down our throats, I feel. They pushed ADR down our throats, Alberto Del Rio. They pushed him down our throats. That didn't work. And I think that they're having this issue. I think that's the biggest problem right now, is that they don't have made stars. And right now their top star is John Cena, and he's out. The next guy on the totem pole is CM Punk.
And he's not the guy that they want. He's not the poster child.
No,
which,
he's not.
Which, you know, is sad to say. But that's something we should talk about eventually, because I think we could go on a lot more about all the issues with this, because there's so, I mean, there's, it goes so in depth that there's guys in NXT that I think can come up right now. And there are guys that are in WWE that are going to NXT. And it's one of those things. It's like, what the heck's going on? Nothing's organized. So it's completely messed up. One of the big things that's going to be happening pretty soon is we're going to see some Attitude Stars. They're going to make a return on Raw and SmackDown, basically on TV. It's going to be kind of neat, because they're going to be, looks like they're definitely going to be releasing the Attitude Era DVD, but it's going to be PG. So how much of an Attitude Era can it be?
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous. But it's going to be interesting to see a lot of those guys return. I hope we see some, you know, like I wouldn't mind seeing, I can't even think of it as, Scotty Too Hotty and
Too Cool.
Thank you. Too Cool. I wouldn't mind seeing them come back, but we'll see what happens with this. I mean, I bet you Stone Cold will come back, as him and Punk are talking over Twitter. Let's see what happens with that. But well, let's talk about WWE programming this week. So Vince returns and it boosts ratings, or does it?
Well, they said it boosted a little bit when he was on there, and the final match of the night, which Vince took on Punk, was a pretty big ratings booster. I was kind of happy to see him back. I thought that it was kind of cool to have Vince out there, and then to have CM Punk come out and interrupt him and talk about respect, and have Vince, you know, go kind of back and forth. You think you're better than Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Stone Cold, and CM Punk? Yeah, I am better than them. You know, and that interaction that they had, I thought it was really cool. And something that was really big that a lot of people may not think about, Vince has had a few feuds with a few wrestlers, most notably Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was his biggest one. After that, he had one with his son, you know, with his daughter. But big ones, right? Stone Cold, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, you know, you could say even Hulk Hogan, CM Punk. CM Punk is getting mentioned in the same breath as all of those guys. So CM Punk took on Vince McMahon in the main event of Raw,
which is a big deal.
That's
dude.
A big deal.
And here's the sad part. I think CM Punk is a good wrestler. I think what they're doing with him is okay right now. I think it could be a lot better. But when CM Punk is your top guy and your next top guy is hurt, they decide to bring Ryback up to a main event status when he should be mid-card and maybe higher mid-card. That's it. He's not main event. He's not a main eventer. That's very, I mean, feed me more. That's what he says. He sucks on the mic. He always has. Skip Sheffield has sucked since day one. But they make this powerhouse, and then it's like, what do you do from there? I mean, you're kind of stuck. You're like, is he going to be the champion? Who's going to take him down? You know, that's how there's all these things that I keep saying. You know, I like the stuff, you know, in a way, I like the stuff that they are doing with Punk, because it's making him look good. But the thing is,
I don't want to see him wrestle John Cena anymore. It's gotten old. It's, if he's going to wrestle him, they should put a stipulation that, you know, at Hell in a Cell, if he beats John Cena, it should be the same thing with Rude. He can't face the champion until it's, you know, he drops it to someone. That's what it should be.
I gotta say, I actually disagree. I think it should be, this is the last match, period. We just won't face each other anymore, no matter who wins. So if I drop the title to John Cena, I'm saying I won't even ask for a rematch. This is it. Just you versus me, one-on-one, for the final time. That's what they should do. I don't even want to see, like, Cena win, then have Punk, I got to get the title back now. I just want a one and done, you know? And I also want to say this, because it sounds like we might be contradicting ourselves about who have they built up. Well, there's Ryback now, right? They're building him up. They're pushing him hard. I think what they're doing is incorrect. Just like with Del Rio, they pushed him down our throats. Ryback, yeah, he is kind of hot right now, but if you build him up even more and you have him win the IC title, you have him take on The Miz, you have him go for the US title, have him take on Antonio Cesaro, you have him take on people that are in that mid-card to upper mid-card area and then keep rising, keep rising, keep rising. When Goldberg finally took on Hulk Hogan, it was a huge deal. When Stone Cold took on Bret Hart, it was a big deal. Because he had this rise. He didn't just get thrown into the main event of WrestleMania. No, he had a rise. And Ryback, he's been here for like 4 months now, 5 months. And all of a sudden you're going to throw him in the main event for a pay-per-view? Really? That's what you're going to do? He's going to take on CM Punk, somebody who can wrestle. Ryback, who can't even pick up Tensai to do his finishing move. Okay? He cannot pick up Tensai to do his finishing move. Goldberg could pick up Big Show. Okay? There's a little bit of difference there. I think MVP said it best. MVP on Twitter, somebody asked him if he trained Ryback. And he said no, because if I did, he could wrestle.
Well, that is true. That's the one way to look at it. But I don't know, dude. WWE's a mess. So one thing also that I thought was kind of interesting is Wade Barrett for Sheamus. And it was on free TV. Why would they actually put this on free TV? This is pay-per-view. Sheamus, I mean, Wade Barrett just comes back. He's looking awesome. And then it's like, yeah, we're going to have you face Sheamus. What's the point of this match?
Yeah, it's definitely a pay-per-view quality match, or pay-per-view quality marquee, so to speak. I was very surprised because I thought that Wade Barrett was going to get pushed into the title picture. And they didn't say that. I don't believe that they said this was for the title. I'm not positive, though. But to have these two wrestle, it was interesting to me. I thought that they actually worked well in the ring together. I think that this will be a really great TLC match in December, you know, have these two wrestle. Maybe even have Barrett get the title, you know, may not be a bad thing to do, to take the title off Sheamus. Because Punk having the title for as long as he does, I'm okay with. Sheamus, on the other hand, I think has grown stale. And if Big Show doesn't win the title, I don't really care. You know, like, it's not that big of a deal to me. Sheamus will just retain somehow, some way, and it's going to be like, I don't care. You know, you don't have to give him the title to try to push him to be the guy. You don't, you know?
Correct. Also, one thing also that I kind of am on the fence about is that Del Rio and Randy Orton, it's getting set up now. They're setting up a feud that's probably going to go on for a few months, probably end at Royal Rumble. But I don't know if I want to see Del Rio anymore. I kind of want to see him off TV for a few months. I mean,
which is weird since he was injured.
Correct.
He was injured for a few months and then he comes back. But I understand what you're saying because he's being pushed down our throats even more. And it's interesting how you can turn on a character so bad, because Alberto Del Rio can wrestle and he can do a pretty good job. And he's got a unique look. You know, he's good on the mic. But he, when you see him come out, you're like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. And he hasn't had a defining feud. His feud with Sheamus was crap. His only decent feud was with Rey Mysterio. And even that was only okay. In my opinion, if you really want to help out Del Rio, put him in a tag team with Ricardo.
Yeah.
Like, no joke. Like, because Ricardo can wrestle. You put him in a tag team with Ricardo. Every time they lose, you blame Ricardo and you have him, like, you know, smack Ricardo around. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
But I think that is the way that I would go personally. Well, I would have them in a tag team.
Well, that might be considered bullying. You never know. But to me, it'd be funny.
That is what you do. And then maybe, you know, kind of turn Ricardo, you know, against him. And, you know, maybe you could do a big swerve saying, oh, we planned this all along. Like, you know, Sheamus came out to help him or something like that.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I guess that's what I would do. I think Del Rio needs to be repackaged. Well, I shouldn't say repackaged. His character needs to be rebuilt.
Almost like take him off TV for a few months, bring him back. Push him then, but you gotta see, this is the problem. I don't think that WWE, I think they're lost touch of wrestlers. One thing that you should also do is that when you're writing for someone, you should actually go up to him and be like, hey, you know, this is what the idea. I want you to write something. Let's sit down and do this. Let's hammer this out over the next hour. You know, you could do that on, you know, the Saturday house show. They think about it on Sunday, Sunday night, Monday morning, bam, you go over with the head writer, be like, sweet, this is what we're doing. Let's run with this. Or I want you to say this instead of this. You know, you could take time to do that. But I think that they're just saying, like, this is what you're going to do. That's it. Deal with it. And I think that's the problem right now. And it's because of Triple H. Who knows what's going to happen? You know,
I think this gets into a much bigger thing. But I would love to see somebody like I like Tyler Black. I don't know how he would work in a WWE ring and with WWE people. I would like to see a character who comes out, who becomes like a fan favorite, and you can turn him heel and face, you know, a couple of times in this 4-year span. At the end of the 4-year span, you give him the title. Mm-hmm. Up until then, though, you have him wrestle and he's trying to get the IC title. He's trying to get the US title, right? And he's going for that hunt. He's trying to get it and he keeps losing. You know, like he takes on The Miz a couple of times, loses. Out of the IC hunt. Somebody else gets the IC title. He goes back in. Then he finally gets it in like 2 years. The crowd is so invested in that at that point in time that the crowd is so behind this guy. You know, when John Cena finally won the US title against Big Show, it was such a big deal. When he finally won the WWE championship, it was such a big deal. And that really helped John Cena's character out. You can do that. Here's the problem. It takes time. It takes 4 years to build a character up to be your poster boy. You can't do this overnight. And Ryback being the poster boy is such a bad idea. And so I'll end it there because I can go on for a while about this. Anyway, Andy, so Big Show, he's being pushed into a monster. So he beat Orton cleanly. And, you know, he's winning by winning. You know, he's not just cheating. He's not just being a typical heel. Is this a good route for him?
I think right now it is, but it's almost you want him to kind of do both. You want him to cheat, but you also want him to be the monster. Because where at what point do you go from here? I mean, in a way, I think it'd be funny if Big Show, like, let's say Sheamus lost the belt let's say Big Show beat Sheamus for the belt, right? I think it'd be funny if Ziggler came out, cashed in, and beat Big Show. I think that'd be funny, but they've already done that.
Although it would be kind of funny to do, honestly, I think it'd be really funny to do again. Then you can have Big Show and Sheamus still feud, and Ziggler could feud with somebody else, maybe, and have him be the main event.
Yeah, but have him be the curtain jerker because, you know, the title means nothing, apparently.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but, Andy, and then the last thing I wanted to get into is the tag division is still getting a lot of love, which, we rag on WWE for a lot of things. So kudos for that because we saw a lot of tag matches on Raw and on SmackDown.
But it's sad because Kofi and R-Truth broke up.
Well, but they broke up on good terms.
They did. I'm trying to figure out where's Little Jimmy going to go.
Here's the thing, though. They can get back together eventually.
They can.
So, Andy, let's put another sponsor.
So, HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space and unlimited bandwidth with one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo and see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite every web hosting cost. Also, make sure you go to the Section 86 Off the Mark page. You'll see a banner for WWEShop.com. Click on that, and if you spend more than $70, you'll get $10 off that order. And also make sure you check out High Spots in this section of Off the Mark. Or I'm sorry, of Section 86 Off the Mark. You'll see a little ad at the bottom. Click on that link and check out HighSpots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling. Of course, Hogan does not want to call TNA anymore. I just want to point this out. He wants it called Impact Wrestling. So
it's TNA. Right.
I know,
but everybody still calls it TNA. That's the funny thing. Like, you know, even though he doesn't want to call that, Like, and I understand trying to push the wrestling thing. It's known as TNA. Your title says TNA on it, mm-hmm. you know?
Exactly. So Impact Wrestling this week, something big that's been announced was that Rob Van Dam, RVD, is going to take on Zema Ion on Bound for Glory. Is this going to be the opening match?
It's going to be the most exciting, so probably.
Oh, yeah, so it'll be the first match because you can't have, you know, Hogan follow that.
Yeah.
You know, he already followed Bubba's, but you can't have him follow, you know, Zema Ion.
The only thing is that they didn't talk about on Impact, unless I missed it, and I went online to see. They didn't say if this was for the title or not. And I don't think it is, because I think that Zema Ion, they want him to hold the title for a while. But honestly, if you give RVD the X Division title, you want to talk about legitimizing that? Yeah, Austin Aries did a great job, and Zema Ion has done a pretty good job. But RVD, I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Is it,
you know?
Is it hurting RVD, though? That's the thing, because he's going backwards.
Well, think of it this way. Remember when Undertaker won the hardcore title? it was the hardcore title, right? And it's like, look, he's definitely above this title by far, but he still won it, right? And you know, he ran with it. I don't even know how he lost it. I remember that he held it. RVD could hold the X Division title, really legitimize it, and you could have some pretty great matches. I don't think it's a step back, and if anything else, RVD can help put over wrestlers. RVD could win the title, help put over Zema Ion a couple pay-per-views later. I think that'd be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is Bully Ray not taking on Austin Aries? Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Not Austin Aries, Aces and Eights.
Yeah, Bully Ray is. So, you know, I don't know if they're doing a face turn or if they're doing tweener turn or what they're doing, but you know, they were really pushing Bully as you know, one of the top guys there. And he destroyed Daniels and Kazarian, put him through a table, you know, for the DQ, which was funny because, like, they knew they were going to get DQ'd. They do it anyway, and they celebrate, you know, beating the team, even though that they lost. I thought that was kind of cool. And it's cool to see Sting, you know, wrestle on free TV also. I think that this will be interesting. I'm predicting a swerve here, though. I don't know what, but I just see a swerve happening.
You know? I wouldn't be surprised if he's behind Aces and Eights.
Devon.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do it with Kurt Angle, but I'm almost wondering if Kurt Angle, you just can't do it with him now.
No, you can't.
Because he's that big. I mean, but it could almost make Aces and Eights big too, but you re-sign Bully, you put him in with Aces and Eights, you know, because he was getting to that point. I mean, he's almost main event. He's right there. And they pushed him perfectly. What can the WWE learn from this? So, but Bully, I mean, like, but he's turned into, he was, I said it multiple times. I thought he was only going to be a tag guy and that's it. Nothing else. He has proved me wrong. Kudos to Bubba Ray. It's going to be great to see him taking on Aces and Eights. So,
and I cannot echo that enough. I agree wholeheartedly. I thought he was only a tag, not a singles. And Andy, the next thing though, is that, so AJ Styles lost to Hernandez. And in the previous week, Angle lost to Chavo, which of course was just, I don't understand that. So you had those two lose cleanly, mind you, to two other people. So does that mean that AJ and Kurt are going to win the titles?
Well, of course, that's how wrestling works. On free TV, whoever loses wins on the pay-per-view 99% of the time. There is that 1%, but you know, it's just one of those things. I wouldn't be surprised if AJ and Kurt Angle win it, because they could actually, I think, make the tag titles better. But this could lead up to Aces and Eights taking the tag titles and starting with that and then slowly maybe taking over all the titles again, like they did with the I can't even think who were the two groups a while back that they did.
Oh, the Legends. Yeah, and it was Fortune. Yeah, Fortune. The one. Yeah.
So it could be something similar to that, which just means they're redoing storylines. But
well, and I mean, that's how wrestling works. But I gotta say, I like Christopher Daniels and Kaz as a tag team. And so even if they lose the titles, I would hope that they hold on to them, or they not hold on to them, but that they still remain a tag team. That's what I would like to see personally.
Oh, yeah. And also, so Austin Aries versus Jeff Hardy. What happened at the end, Aaron?
So this was interesting. So Austin Aries took on James Storm at the start of TNA. And then Hardy takes on Bobby Roode at the end. And so it's like, well, Austin Aries is the, you know, he's the champ, you know. I mean, why are you having him be the curtain jerker. And he comes out there and he had a piece of paper. He's like, this is what the people in the back want me to say. Screw that. And screw you fans. You know, like he goes on really heel. Like, I don't know if they were trying to do a CM Punk type thing or not. I don't know. But he basically, you know, cut a promo against Jeff Hardy and said that, you know, he's being set up for failure, that Austin Aries is being set up for failure, and that this Sunday he's not going to, and that he's going to prove everybody wrong, and he is going to own Jeff Hardy. And then Jeff Hardy goes to get out of the ring. Austin Aries attacks him and then gives him brainbuster, and, you know, then fade to black. I really wish this was something that happened last week. You know, like this is that thing where it's like, ooh, this is getting really interesting. I want to see the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, no, that's the thing right before the match. It's like, no, you got to have an exchange, you know, between the two about, you know, like Jeff Hardy saying Austin Aries couldn't beat him normally. You have to tag me right before the pay-per-view. Like, you have to have that type of stuff. And so that's the only thing I'm thinking about that I think kind of ruins it a little bit. But I got to say, Impact Wrestling, I mean, they put on solid shows. Like I said last week, when you have a certain amount of time to do things, when you only have 2 hours, that show felt like there was so much more in it than the 3-hour Raw that I saw, you know, this past week, or even the 2-hour SmackDown even, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The other thing also that I want to say is that on this Sunday, if you turn to Spike TV at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they're actually going to have a countdown to Bound for Glory. Which, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I love those. I love those pre-shows. They're just awesome. And I think you get more buys out of it when it's all said and done. Plus, you get make all the money from the advertising. It's great. I think it's good that they're doing this. It's going to – I hope they have one match during it. I don't know if they announced that yet or not, but they should have a match leading up to the pay-per-view. And then I think something big should happen, and then fade to black. People want to buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because that would definitely want me to buy it. So let's talk about our weekly topic. Some big stuff happened this week. One, a lot of people saw. I called you right away once I found out about it. CM Punk hits a fan. I've seen multiple videos of it. I finally saw why he – I mean, there was other people pushing him, but the one guy that he did hit did forearm him in the back of the neck. That's something you don't do as much as – you know. And then also Del Rio ripped up a kid's sign. Let's talk about the CM Punk thing first. The guy who got hit, he forearmed CM Punk first. That's not right, first off. You have your top heel now, the top wrestler in the company, go up into the crowd. He's hated.
And that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing right there.
If he's hated, he should not be up there by himself. If he's in Chicago, it's different. Everyone's going to be patting him and moving out of the way or trying to get on TV real quick. He's hated. There was no security anywhere around there. Usually they'll have like one or two plants and usually the guy will run up to him. And then those are the security while security is, you know, coming from back and also, you know, from the back and the front of the wrestler. So then no one gets hurt. This kid actually forearms CM Punk. He turns around, backhands him. He shouldn't have done that. The other fans should not have been pushing him. I thought it was funny because they interviewed the guy and he said he compared this to what Ron Artest did years back in the NBA. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He compared it to that situation. That's completely different. It's completely different. I can't believe he actually compared himself basically to that. That's ridiculous. I blame this on WWE security.
And absolutely, you know, as you mentioned, being a heel and telling the fans that they suck and then going out to the fans and waiting in the crowd. Because if he just ran through the crowd, that's something that happens. You know, I mean, you see a heel hightail it and leave through the crowd. But he stopped and waited there. That's the problem. That is the biggest problem. And then to not have any security around him. I mean, the amount of people who, you know, they see a wrestler, they see the guy that owns the title. I mean, yeah, they're going to go around and people were taking pictures. People were trying to get next to him to take pictures and stuff like that. And you know, you have people who are going to mess around with them. The problem is that you have fans that are kind of stupid. Okay, you do. I mean, and you'll have it everywhere. You know, in the NFL, they talked about last week people cheering when Matt Castle got injured. You know, when they were at home. You know, that's something that you don't do because some fans are stupid. Plain and simple. You have somebody go into the crowd. oh, hey, I'm going to punch this guy in his kidneys. Why? Like, why would you do that? You want to get a cheap shot at somebody? Like, really? You know, try to hide behind your anonymity? No, that's just dumb. WWE is stupid for allowing this to happen. And I think that they should take note of this. And maybe next time around, maybe not put CM Punk in that situation. Because that's a bad situation to be in. Yeah, you're going to get some publicity out of it. But that's not where you want to be.
Well, the funny thing is, TMZ didn't even report it. They were reporting about something about the Del Rio thing first. And then they talked about the Punk thing because they didn't think it was that big of a deal because that fan should have been right away escorted out of the building. I don't care if the show was over. He should have been going out with security. That's it. This is WWE's fault. I know Vince is ticked and they can't let CM Punk, you know, they can't take him out because he's the top guy right now. Plus, he's on the cover of WWE 13 that's coming out. He just had a DVD released at that time, the DVD was released the following day. He's your big guy. He should be protected. And he wasn't. WWE's fault. WWE security fault, I should say.
And, you know, something that we should talk about is, you know, what is the proper way to fix the situation? Because the fan has said, I'm thinking about pressing charges, you know, and things like that.
I actually looked into this a little bit more. I actually got some input on it. CM Punk was getting pushed. There is proof the guy forearmed CM Punk in the back of the head. So that's considered assault and was assault and battery. CM Punk hitting him is the same thing. Worst case scenario, CM Punk's going to have to pay a small fine, and that guy's going to have to pay a fine that he probably can't afford to pay anyways. So the charges will get dropped. Nothing's going to happen with this. It's going to get blown over. No one cares. This guy's been taken to Twitter and got a couple extra followers, and now people lost interest. Because Punk's DVD came out. They stopped talking about it. No one cares. It's been blown over. Bound for Glory is happening. Big freaking deal. It's over with. I don't see this going any further. He already went on WWE.com, said he apologized on Wednesday. That's it. It's over with. I don't think you're going to hear any more about this. If he tries to sue CM Punk, you know, whatever. But one thing, let's talk about the Del Rio situation. This one actually was not a big deal, but then it became a big deal, but then it didn't. What happened was that Del Rio took this kid's sign. He had a Sheamus sign up. I guess he was sitting really like either in the front, around the front of the ring. And this woman's son, you know, Del Rio just ripped up the sign and the kid started crying. Sheamus, now I'm going to say that's what we heard. And then she won something on Shark Tank. I don't even want to bring up her name, but she won something on Shark Tank. I'm not going to promote her at all. And she complained about it, saying that her kid was bullied. She kept talking about it. Finally, someone interviewed her and asked, what happened after that, after the ripping up of the sign? What happened was that Sheamus came out, told the kid he was sorry. You know, he probably said, hey, little buddy, I'm sorry about your sign, blah, blah, blah. He gave him his shirt off his back. I'm sorry, but that makes up for it right away. Kid was getting bullied. If you've been to wrestling, even indie shows are the worst. They rip up signs all the time.
Yeah.
People get thrown in the crowd. I mean, that's why I haven't gone. I want to go to Dreamway so bad, but I've seen what happens there. And I'm scared to go there in LaSalle. But the thing about this is that she took him to a wrestling event. She said that he's too young for it. If he's too young, he shouldn't freaking go. That's her fault. The kid's not getting bullied. It's a part of the show. So she complained on Twitter about this. And then Sheamus actually direct messaged her and said, hey, if I gave him an autographed picture and some merchandise, would that make up for the situation? I'm very sorry about it. And she's like, well, that's very nice of him to do that. So Sheamus is doing this. And he said that next time you guys want to come to one of our shows, I'll give you the VIP treatment backstage, you know, all this stuff. Okay, that makes up for it to me. She said he is his idol right now. Okay, so he is going to be coming backstage, get to see all the stuff, get free merchandise, get another autograph, get to hang out with Sheamus, his wrestler. Okay, that kind of makes up for the whole situation. But her thing is that she's saying, she was asking the WWE, how come they let their wrestlers bully other people? What the hell do you think they're doing in the ring? They're beating each other up.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not, she was saying bullying kids. Okay, well, first of all, if your kid's so young that he doesn't realize that it's a show, he shouldn't be there. That's your fault. The fact that she keeps on saying this stuff, and what ticked me off was Dixie Carter calls her and says, "Why don't you come Bound for Glory? We'll give you the VIP treatment. You'll meet Hogan." We don't have our wrestlers rip up signs. Bull. Because I remember about 6 weeks ago, I remember I can't remember who it was. I think it was Christopher Daniels ripped someone's sign up, and it was to a little. It was a kid who was young, maybe 5 years old. That happens. It's wrestling. If you don't know what wrestling is, you should not take your kid to the show. But here's the other thing that really ticks me off. She said that she understands that Del Rio is playing a character, and she was also ticked because Rodriguez sent at replied her and said LOL. He's playing a character. It's a perfect heel. I think it's really good. So here's the other thing. Also, the guy I interviewed asked, said, "Do you know what wrestling is?" And she says that doesn't not matter. So, and he was basically informing that she is not an informed person. She doesn't know much about wrestling. So that's my problem. Is I could go on a long time for this, but the thing
I think the biggest thing here is that when fan interaction with wrestlers is about this, that wrestler is playing a character, and so you have to be prepared to one either confront or not confront, but be around either that character or that person. So CM Punk. When he was a face, he, really, he's kind of a jerk in real life. So you have to be prepared for that. You're probably going to get the jerk. And same thing, if you're around the heel, then you're probably really going to get him, who he is, more than likely. So you'll basically be around that. So that's the biggest thing, You have to be prepared for either the character or who the person actually is.
Yeah, so I mean, I digress on this. I go on a long time, but so basically, I just think the woman's stupid. That's just my opinion. She doesn't understand what wrestling is. But that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, see you in the ring.